day 87 of the Israeli onslaught on Gaza. Palestinian death toll nearing 22,000 people, most of them women and children. Israeli military kills over 300 Palestinian medical personnel and abducts at least 100 more as it pushes ahead with its genocide in Gaza. Iran deploys one of its Navy destroyers to the Red Sea a day after the U.S. so-called task force in the region attacks Yemeni boats. Hello and welcome live from Tehran. You've turned to World News. I'm Marzia Hashemi. Thanks so much for being with us. Well, as the world is celebrating the Gregorian New Year with fireworks and festivities, Palestinians in the Gaza Strip are running for their lives and looking for shelter. Palestinian death toll is approaching 22,000 people among the relentless Israeli bombing of residential areas. Well, the regime's airstrikes have also left over 56,000 wounded and more than 7,000 missing. Some of the latest attacks hit residential buildings in Khan Yunis, killing at least 35 more people. The southern city has also witnessed fierce clashes between resistance fighters and Israeli forces over the past several days. A number of Palestinians were also killed in central Gaza, where Israeli warplanes struck several refugee camps. The military wing of the Palestinian resistance movement Hamas has targeted Tel Aviv and its suburbs in response to Israel's deadly onslaught on Gaza. The Al-Qassam Brigades launched a barrage of rockets, with Israeli sources reporting failed interception of projectiles. Regime's ambulances were also reportedly dispatched to damaged sites. So the Israeli regime says nearly 170 of its soldiers have been killed and almost 900 injured since the launch of the ground operation in Gaza. Palestinians say fatalities among invading troops are much higher and that the regime is hiding the real number. Well, a video has gone viral showing a group of Palestinian doctors in Gaza singing the former official anthem of Palestine and their desire to defend their homeland amid Israeli genocide on the Gaza Strip. Doctors have refused to leave the Gaza Strip to help people as the coastal territory struggles with a critical healthcare situation due to the Israeli attacks. Regime's airstrikes have killed over 300 Palestinian medical personnel since October the 7th. Israel keeps in custody around 100 Palestinian medics, including chief physicians of hospitals in the northern Gaza Strip. The regime's strikes have destroyed dozens of hospitals, ambulances, and medical centers. Our correspondent in the besieged Gaza Strip, Moti Abu Musabeh, says hospitals in the Palestinian territory are overwhelmed by the increasing number of injuries as a result of Israeli bombings.
Hospitals of Gaza Strip became really trapped between the rock of the direct targeting versus by the Israeli occupation forces and the hard blaze of the increasing numbers of the Palestinian casualties who overwhelming the Palestinian hospitals and the health facilities here in Gaza Strip, which are completely collapsed over the continuous Israeli airstrikes. And according to the latest updates from the Gaza government media office, we are talking about at least 312 Palestinian medical were killed by the Israeli occupation forces. In addition to that, we are talking about at least 100 Palestinian doctor and medical staff also were kidnapped by the Israeli occupation forces. In addition to that, we are talking about 23 Palestinian hospitals here in the Gaza Strip were became out of service over the continuous Israeli attacks. In addition to that, we are talking about 104 Palestinian ambulances were destroyed completely by the Israeli occupation forces. So we are talking about continuous and deliberate, actually, Israeli attacks reaching and targeting the health sector here in Gaza Strip in a way that deepens the suffering of the Palestinian people. And
Palestinian resistance movement Hamas condemns an Israeli official's remark about the forced displacement of Palestinians from Gaza. Hamas described as a vile mockery and a war crime the comment made by the far-right Israeli finance minister. Bezalel Smotrich has called for the immigration of around 2 million Palestinians from the besieged strip to other countries so that only 1 to 200,000 will remain there. He also said Israeli settlers should go to Gaza after the end of the regime's onslaught. In response, Hamas vowed that the people of Gaza will stand firm and steadfast against efforts to displace him from their own land. The Palestinian resistance movement also once again urged the international community to take effective measures to stop Israel's crimes. Meanwhile, the Islamic resistance in Iraq says it has carried out fresh attacks against Israeli positions in response to the regime's ongoing air and artillery strikes on Gaza. The resistance group said it targeted a military site in Syria's occupied Golan Heights. It also attacked a target in the city of Umm al-Rashrash, also known as Eilat, in the southern part of the occupied Palestinian territories. Now, this is not the first time Iraq-based resistance groups hit Eilat. Since October the 7th, they have also carried out a number of drone and missile attacks on U.S. bases in the region. They believe Washington is complicit in the Tel Aviv regime's onslaught on Gaza and its killing of tens of thousands of civilians. A senior official with Lebanon's Hezbollah resistance movement says attacks on Israeli positions across the southern Lebanese borders will end only if the regime ends its onslaught against Palestinians in Gaza. Hezbollah's Deputy Secretary General Sheikh Naim Qassem says Israel's efforts to restore peace to the northern part of the occupied territories will be in vain unless attacks on civilians in Gaza stop completely. The cleric warned that Israel's refusal to end the war in Gaza would lead to further escalation and clashes with Hezbollah. The comments came after Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu said the regime will do whatever it takes to restore calm to northern occupied Palestine, where settlers have either been displaced or live in constant fear of missile attacks by Hezbollah. Now, the Iranian Navy's Alborz destroyer has entered the Red Sea via the Bab al-Mandab Strait, asserting its presence in the region. Alborz has sailed into the Red Sea as Iran's 94th Fleet, this a day after Sana'a warned that Washington that it bears full responsibility for the consequences of a deadly attack by the U.S. Navy in the Red Sea. The Yemeni military also stressed that such attacks will not stop their anti-Israel operations. On Sunday, the U.S. Central Command said its helicopters shot at Yemeni boats that were stopping a container ship, killing at least 10 people. In recent weeks, Yemeni armed forces have claimed responsibility for attacks on several Israeli-owned and Israel-linked ships in waters off of Yemen. The Yemeni army says the operations are in retaliation for Israeli genocide in Gaza. Let's cross over to Sana'a and talk to Yusuf Mari. Fill us in on this latest situation and what's going on and what it means.
Well, I think the Yemen's Ansarullah movement and along with the Islamic Republic of Iran, they're starting to see that, you know, the Red Sea needs to be secured, but it needs to be secured from people within the region, from the Arab and Islamic world who actually don't want to fuel chaos and instability. What we have seen unfold over the past 2 months is, especially recently, is the U.S. calling on international powers like the U.K., the French, the German government, along with its Arab proxies in the region, to form this Navy Task Force coalition. And their purpose was to secure, quote-unquote, secure the Red Sea for international shipments. However, they've turned the Red Sea into a war zone, into a fireball arena where nothing can unfold except chaos and destruction, which is exactly what happened the other day. And this is because of the presence of the U.S. Navy and other Western powers in the Red Sea. So I think Ansarullah government, they are making a firm decision that not only the Middle East, but also the Red Sea needs to be cleared from all Western presence in order to secure a safe international shipping lane to every nation except that of the Israeli entity as you have mentioned, Ansarullah will continue to block and prevent Israeli-linked ships from crossing Bab el-Mandeb and from having access to the Red Sea, and that's specifically aimed at putting pressure on the West, putting pressure on the Israeli entity to end its genocide in Palestine. So I think the presence of the Iranian destroyer in the Red Sea is an indication that, first and foremost, Iran is not going to allow this, you know, it's not just going to sit and stand idle while a coalition force led by the U.S. forms to attack Yemen. And the second point is that, you know, Iran is going to support the Yemeni military's initiative when it comes to clearing the Red Sea from any hostile presence, as similar to the one that we've seen unfold yesterday, whereby 10 Yemeni naval forces were killed specifically because of the presence of Western forces in the Red Sea.
Well, let's talk about that. Yesterday, 10 Yemeni forces were killed. Now, what type of reaction are we likely to see from the Yemenis themselves because of this renewed aggression and direct aggression this time around from the United States? Does that mean that Yemeni forces will attempt to stop American ships? Or tell me what is being said on that side of things regarding yesterday's attack.
Nothing is being said other than, you know, the U.S. is going to bear the responsibility and the consequences and repercussions for its crimes that were committed yesterday. This is according to the spokesperson who released a statement hours after the incident happened in the Red Sea yesterday. So Yemen, you know, according to the leader, Sayyid Abdel Malik al-Houthi, if the U.S. engages in any hostile actions against Yemeni military presence, then they're going to be met with brute military force. We don't know how that's going to shape, how that's going to form, how Yemen is going to get its revenge. However, I can tell you that according to Ansarullah military officials and according to the Ansarullah leader, revenge will be a dish best served cold, according to Ansarullah officials. And this is something that perhaps we will see unfold in the next couple of days, perhaps next week or even a couple of months. But what they have made very, very clear is that they're not going to allow the U.S. to kill 10 Yemeni soldiers patrolling in the Red Sea and get away with this. And this is why the U.S. is trying to de-escalate the situation. And they've announced that some of their Navy fleets are going to leave the Red Sea and that they're going to head back to their designated stations. However, that's, you know, if they try to de-escalate the situation, not a lot can be done to de-escalate the events that happened yesterday because blood has already been spilled. Despite the operations that Ansarullah has launched for a month and a half against Israeli ships in the Red Sea, they have not spilled one drop of blood, right? Their mission and their goal was specifically just to safely block and prevent shipments to occupied Palestine. And that was the purpose. No blood was spilled. Ship crews were killed or mistreated. And despite that, the U.S. still finds a way to engage in a reckless military initiative to kill 10 Yemeni Navy soldiers. And this is something that has not only upset the Yemeni army and Yemen's political leadership, but also the Yemeni public, who are planning to take to the streets in the coming days to voice their condemnation and their anger at the U.S. for the crimes committed.
Right, of course, a very sensitive situation. You say the U.S. may want to de-escalate, but of course, by what they did yesterday, it's definitely an escalation. And now we have the Iranian Alborz destroyer in the region. Thanks so much for that update. That's Yusuf Mowry. We'll continue with more news this hour. Iran's foreign ministry says the Islamic Republic is not afraid of announcing its support for the resistance front. The ministry's spokesman, Nasser Kanani, made the remark during his weekly presser. Kanani said Tehran considers the resistance front as a legitimate movement in Palestine and the West Asia region under international law. The spokesman said resistance groups in the occupied Palestine are trying to liberate the land that belongs to Palestinians. He also slammed Western support for Israel. Kanani said those who ignore the natural rights of Palestinians should be held accountable on the Gaza situation and should be ashamed. The spokesman added that supporters of the regime should be put on trial in international courts. Well, people around the world have held rallies on New Year's Eve in protest of the ongoing Israeli onslaught against Palestinians.
Today is a global celebration of the beginning of the new year. Every Jordanian today wanted to convey a message about how we celebrate or feel while just a few miles away, brothers, families and people in Gaza are being killed and slaughtered. Today, people around the world are celebrating the start of a new year. But Israel is celebrating the killings of more of our people in Gaza. This is my message, today in particular.
Today, we are present at Martyrs Square in Lebanese capital Beirut, responding to a global call from our people in Palestine to demonstrate, demand and exert pressure to stop the genocide committed by the Israeli occupation army against our people in Gaza and its aggression on southern Lebanon.
Mass solidarity rallies were held in the Jordanian capital of Amman and the Lebanese capital of Beirut. In Beirut, protesters chanted slogans, waved flags, and carried signs reading "Ceasefire Now." Also in Ramallah, in the occupied West Bank, hundreds of people marched in support of their fellow Palestinians. And in Berlin, pro-Palestine activists held a march to denounce the Israeli onslaught. They boycotted New Year's celebrations. Similar boycotts were observed in many countries in solidarity with Palestinians. This follows calls for a global campaign to turn the New Year's countdown into a countdown for a truce. In the U.S. city of Boston, thousands of people ended 2023 with a rally for Palestinian rights instead of taking part in New Year's celebrations. And with that, brings us to the end of this World News edition right here. Thanks so much for staying tuned.
Follow us on social media to stay up to date on the latest global developments. You can keep in touch with us by following us on Twitter at twitter.com/ParsTodayEN. You can also follow IRIB English Radio on Instagram via instagram.com/ParsTodayEnglish.
In the limelight.
A recent survey has revealed U.S. President Joe Biden's support has collapsed among young Americans, with 68% of those under the age of 30 saying he should not run again for president in 2024. We take a look at some of the world press and media's coverage of this story. Please stay with us. Newsweek magazine has covered the story and tells us more. According to polling data, President Joe Biden's current approval rating is lower than that of the last four presidents who failed to win a second term in office. Joe Biden's popularity among voters has been a major talking point in the 2024 campaign. His approval ratings, percentage-wise, has steadily been in the low 40s for most of his presidency. According to poll aggregator 538, it was at its highest point when Joe Biden first took office in January of 2021 at 53.1%, and at its lowest point in July of 2022 at 38.2%. A recent opinion poll conducted by American Research Group from 17th to 20th of December found that 37% of Americans approve of Joe Biden's handling of his presidency, while 57% disapprove. The opinion poll surveyed 1,100 adults living in the continental United States and had a margin of error of 3 percentage points. Looking at how Biden's popularity fares compared to past incumbents who lost their re-election campaigns, he has a lower approval rating than Donald Trump, George H.W. Bush, Jimmy Carter, and Gerald Ford at the same point in their presidencies. On the 1,074th day of Donald Trump's presidency, he had a 42.5% approval rating, compared to Joe Biden's 39.3%. Donald Trump later lost the 2020 election to Joe Biden. There will likely be a rematch between Trump and Biden in 2024, as Biden is a Democratic incumbent and Donald Trump is the current frontrunner for the Republican nomination. Former Republican President George H.W. Bush had a 51.8% approval rating on his 1,074th day in office, which is 12.5 percentage points ahead of Joe Biden at the same point in his presidency. George W. Bush then lost the 1992 election to Bill Clinton, a Democrat. Biden's approval rating is about 10 percentage points behind former Democratic President Jimmy Carter's at this point in their presidencies. On the 1,074th day of the Carter administration, President Jimmy Carter had a 49.2% approval rating. Carter lost to Republican candidate Ronald Reagan in the 1980 presidential election. Former Republican President Gerald Ford lost the 1976 election to Jimmy Carter, but his circumstances were different. Gerald Ford, former President Richard Nixon's vice president, took office in 1974 after Richard Nixon resigned following the Watergate scandal. Gerald Ford was only president for 895 days. On his 855th day in office, he had an approval rating of 44.5%. On Joe Biden's 855th day in office, he had an approval rating of 41%. The British newspaper The Daily Mail has also covered this story and tells us more. A recent opinion poll shows 6 in 10 voters, including nearly one-third of Democrats, say Joe Biden should not run for president in 2024. Also, in a further alarming sign for Joe Biden, almost half of Democrats say it is not too late for the 81-year-old to be replaced as their party's nominee. The extensive survey conducted jointly by the Daily Mail and JL Partners poll showed 60% of the American public think Joe Biden should not seek re-election, with only 34% saying he should, and 6% expressing no opinion. Perhaps the most troubling revelation for the White House will be that even 29% of Democrats said Joe Biden should not run for president again. The latest set of alarming results for the Biden administration come less than 24 hours after a Daily Mail opinion poll revealed former President Donald Trump is ahead by 4 percentage points nationwide. The opinion poll revealed results for male and female voters were virtually identical. It showed Joe Biden's support has collapsed among young American voters, with 68% of those under the age of 30 saying he should not run again, the most of any age group. In every age group, over 50% of voters thought he should drop out of the race. Majorities of both college graduates and non-graduates also agreed. There were signs of Biden losing support in his Democrat base, with 59% of Hispanic voters and 49% of black voters saying he should not be the Democratic Party's nominee. And there were further worrying signs for the president, with 65% of independent voters saying he should not run again, with only 26% believing that he should. Winning over independents will be crucial if Joe Biden is to defeat the likely Republican nominee Donald Trump in 2024. The opinion poll showed more Democrats believe it is not too late to ditch Joe Biden than those who think the time has passed. It revealed 44% of Democrats think it is not too late, while 42% say it is too late. Among independents, 66% thought it was not too late to replace Joe Biden, and 71% of Republicans agreed. Majorities of white, Hispanic, and black voters all agreed it was not too late to find another Democratic nominee. Scarlett McGuire, director of JL Partners pollster, said, "Voters continue to have serious doubts about Joe Biden's ability to mount another presidential campaign, while an astonishing 6 in 10 say that Joe Biden should not run for the Oval Office again, including 1 in 3 Democrats," she added. She added, "There are clear concerns about the president's age and his time in office." Fox News Channel has also covered the same story and tells us more. According to a new national public opinion survey, only one-third of Americans gave President Joe Biden a thumbs up on the job approval rating he's doing in the White House. The president stands at 34% approval in a Monmouth University opinion poll released recently, with 61% giving Joe Biden a thumbs down on his job performance. The president's approval is at an all-time low in Monmouth University polling since Joe Biden took over the White House nearly 3 years ago. Americans questioned in the survey gave the president particularly low marks for his handling of immigration, 26%, and his handling of inflation, 28%. Patrick Murray, director of the Monmouth University Polling Institute, highlighted, "The Biden administration keeps touting their infrastructure investments and a host of so-called positive economic indicators. But most Americans are still smarting from higher prices caused by post-pandemic inflation. This seems to be what's driving public opinion." Patrick Murray spotlighted that there is certainly an element of partisanship in how people frame their own financial situation, which is based in part on who occupies the White House. But even a good chunk of Biden's Democratic base wish that he'd start paying more attention to their top priorities than he is now.
The Gate of Knowledge. Exegesis and interpretations of the supremely eloquent sermons, letters, and sayings of the Commander of the Faithful, Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, peace be upon him.
You're listening to the program Gate of Knowledge on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Mukhtar, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wassalatu wassalamu ala Sayyidina Muhammadin wa ala Ahli Baytihi al-Tayyibin al-Tahirin. Dear listeners to IRIB English Radio, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I welcome you all to this episode of The Gate of Knowledge, where we are discussing about the topic of a guide to managers based on the teachings of Imam Ali alayhi salam in Nahjul Balagha. We are currently focusing and discussing the sermons number 16 and 83. And as we will quote, we will also refer to other sermons which have the topic that we mentioned previously, and also today we will discuss about one important characteristic that a manager needs to have, and that is piety. And we say that because a manager is kind of in a sensitive position. This sensitive position requires him to be more alert and to be more focused and to avoid forgetfulness and obliviousness. And to avoid forgetfulness and obliviousness. This is something that he needs to keep in mind and to have in his life.
You are listening to the program Gate of Knowledge on IRIB English Radio, a program that presents a detailed commentary of Peak of Eloquence from the Master of the Faithful, Imam Ali, peace be upon him.
Now, when we are discussing about piety in general, we say that is a state where a person is alert regarding his actions and his intentions. But then there is something more profound when it comes to a manager, because a manager is dealing with more complications, and therefore his levels of alertness need to be higher. And we say that one of the ways this alertness can increase is if a person is, you know, refers to history, refers and reads about other institutes, other societies, sees the reasons of their progress and the reasons why they fell or they lacked in progress. This is very important. Another thing that Imam Ali alayhi salam talks about when he talks about piety is that he says that أَلَا وَإِنَّ التَّقْوَى مَطَايَ ذُلُلٌ, that be aware that taqwa and piety is a steed or a mount which is humble, is a humble mount. هُمِلَ عَلَيْهَا أَهْلُهَا, that the person who is riding this mount, he allows, it allows that person to mount easily and is able to control very easily the whole affair. Now, that means that a person who is pious is able to control the affairs in a best way. So if a person is doing something with piety, he is in control and whatever he's doing is under his authority. Like a horse that is tame, that listens, that does what is just required, that is under control. You see, this is what we call what the result of piety is. Now, every manager has a dream to be able to control things like that. So we'll come to, inshallah, explain how piety will help a person to control things in the best way.
IRIB English Radio presents a detailed commentary of the Peak of Eloquence from the Master of the Faithful, Imam Ali, peace be upon him, on the program Gate of Knowledge.
Now, as we said, a manager likes things to run smoothly and under his control in the best way possible. Of course, not to be a dictator, but to think, to do things in a way that things are always going with will, with his will, with his attention, with the direction he wants. It's not that that institute that he's working with, or that group or that country or whatever, is not under his control. It's just running itself. And unfortunately, if you look at today, different communities and different societies, this is how things are working. Like, things are just rolling the way they themselves. There is no control as such. The leadership is not nicely flowing down, and the managing is not happening in the best way, in the most efficient manner. One of the reasons is skills, the lack of skills. But of course, even those who are skillful and are very good managers still complain that things are not under their control in the best way possible. Probably that's because they're ignoring a very important part, and that is the spiritual part, which is to be pious. Now, when a person is pious, here Imam Ali alayhi salam says it's so easy to control, and the steed or the mount is so humble and tame. And you find, okay, then that means that a person who is pious, things are easy for him. And a person who is not pious, things are hard for him. While we see the opposite, a person who is pious needs to work hard and struggle to control things. While a person who is impious just lets things go, so it's easy for him. But this is not the case. A person who is not pious, because doesn't have that alertness in life and is not careful about his actions, he's always being swayed from one corner to another, from one side to another. He may think he's under control and he's free to do what he wants, but that freedom comes at a cost. That freedom is bringing down that community, that society. And the managing is not happening in the best way. But one who is pious, yes, he's applying effort to keep things under control based on God's teachings and the divine teachings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he's careful and he's alert about his actions. This alertness itself keeps those actions and everything under control. And slowly, as a person becomes active and proactive in these things, it becomes second nature to him. And then things flow in a very good way. And even if difficulties and problems come, he is still controlling and under control. And he's not swayed by the difficulties, problems that might come on the way. Let us pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that whatever we are doing, we should do it with piety. And especially those who have managerial positions, they should be able to keep these pieces of advice from Imam Ali alayhi salam in mind. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Sheikh Mukhtar, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom, on the program Gate of Knowledge on IRIB English Radio.
قال النبي محمد من كنت مولاه هذا علي سيد فاز من ولاه هو بالكتاب مسدد والنور معنا باب العلوم ومرشد هو آيات الله من نداه أو لبه حين دعاه نال مناه هو في الشدائد منجد والفضل يمنى هو في المحاسن أحمد والوحي ربا.
This is the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily, round the clock, for listeners across the globe. The voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran can be heard by the internet, shortwave, FM, and satellites. Our listeners in the Indian subcontinent can listen to the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave 31 meters, 9,650 kilohertz every day from 1520 to 1620 UTC. Also, our listeners in Southern Africa can tune in to the English service of the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave 25 meters, 11,880 kilohertz every day from 1920 to 2020 UTC. Our listeners in Tehran can also listen to our program via FM 91.5 megahertz. You can also listen to the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on IranSat or BAD 5 and IntelSat 39 and via the internet. Our internet address is pasttoday.ir/en. And now you can listen to Arabi English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program, PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about our audio quality and other means. Thank you.
In the limelight.
Throughout Gaza, the area thick with smoke from wood-burning fires and also with toxins from the Zionist regime weaponry. Dr. Ibrahim Matar, a cardiologist at Al-Aqsa Martyrs Hospital in Deir al-Balah, has warned people of the risks of inhaling smoke. The World Health Organization has also documented 150,000 cases of upper respiratory infection in Gaza as of December 2023. In this regard, we have taken a look at world media websites and news agencies for further details. Stay tuned for more. The Electronic Intifada wrote, "Without firewood, Bassam Badawi is unsure how he would survive." The father of six said that he uses about 2 to 5 kilometers a day of firewood to complete all kinds of tasks. He said, "Our life depends on the amount of wood we have. We do not use wood fire to just cook. We use it for heating water, drying clothes on rainy days, and having some hot drinks like tea." Before the Zionist regime launched its war on Gaza, Badawi and his family, who live in the city of Deir al-Balah, relied on gas-powered or electric-based appliances in their daily routines. The Zionist regime has largely cut off fuel supplies to Gaza since October 7th, allowing it only limited quantities that are far below what the population of Gaza needs. Badawi is concerned because it is becoming increasingly difficult to find wood each day, not to mention food to eat. He is also hosting numerous displaced relatives at his home. He said, "Even if we have wood, we sometimes have neither food to cook nor water to heat up." Throughout Gaza, the air is thick with smoke from wood-burning fires and also with toxins from the Zionist regime's weaponry. Dr. Ibrahim Matar, a cardiologist at Al-Aqsa Martyrs Hospital in Deir al-Balah, has warned people of the risks of inhaling smoke, he said, many people have come to the hospital with bronchitis and sinus issues as a result of accidentally inhaling smoke and gunpowder. The World Health Organization has also documented 150,000 cases of upper respiratory infection in Gaza as of December 2023. Matar said he is especially concerned about individuals with pre-existing lung ailments since the hospitals are at capacity, but that the poor air quality impacts everyone in Gaza. And with the scarcity of wood in Gaza, people will burn anything they can to survive, even plastic and other waste that can produce smoke that is harmful to breathe. Some have even used gas with alcohol to keep a fire going. Since Gaza has never been a highly forested area with only 13 forests covering around 500 acres, wood is already difficult to find. Even so, the Zionist regime's airstrikes continue to bombard Gaza, and venturing to such far-off areas is dangerous. Besides, most people don't have the tools to cut down lumber. They have to rely on what they can find, even cutting down trees in parks and burning scraps of lumber found in rubble. Abu Sharif Hassanat's sons wake up at 5 a.m. to find wood in Deir al-Balah. He said, it really requires quite some physical effort, and they only come back exhausted with little wood. Abu Hossam Abu Habel, a father of five children, said that keeping wood dry during rain is even more difficult. On the days he can't light a fire, they don't cook. He said, we eat canned food for that day. It is just painful. Abu Habel has been forcibly displaced by the Zionist regime's attacks. He moved from Nusayra to Maghazi, both refugee camps in central Gaza. He's concerned about his family's health since they're living off of canned food most days. He wishes he could afford alternatives to wood, but they are too expensive. 1 kilogram of coal cost around $6. He said, it is hard to accept that everything is expensive, noting that the cost of everything has doubled. Meanwhile, Tasnim News Agency reported the World Health Organization, WHO, issued a stark warning recently, stating that the Gaza Strip is on the brink of an inevitable outbreak of infectious diseases due to poor sanitation and a severe lack of clean water. The WHO official said in a statement, over 1.9 million people have been displaced from their homes, with more than 1.4 million residing in overcrowded shelters. These conditions provide a fertile ground for the continued rise of infectious diseases. It added, in Gaza, the average stands at only one shower for every 4,500 people and one toilet for every 220. Clean water scarcity persists, contributing to increased outdoor defecation, creating conditions conducive to the spread of infectious diseases. Since mid-October, over 100,000 cases of diarrhea have been recorded in the enclave, with half of those cases affecting children under five, a rate of 25 times higher than pre-conflict levels, according to WHO. Also, other reports include over 150,000 cases of upper respiratory infections, as well as instances of meningitis, skin rashes, scabies, lice, and chickenpox. Hepatitis is also suspected, with many individuals displaying signs of jaundice. Malnourished children face a heightened risk of death from diseases like diarrhea, pneumonia, and malaria, particularly in the absence of life-saving health services, the statement noted. An unprecedented 93% of Gaza's population is grappling with crisis-level hunger, with insufficient food and elevated malnutrition. Approximately one in four households are experiencing catastrophic conditions, resorting to extreme measures like selling possessions to afford a simple meal. Starvation, destitution, and death are becoming increasingly evident, the statement emphasized. Recently, the UN Office for the Coordination of Humanitarian Affairs revealed that half of Gaza's population is suffering from severe hunger, with 90% of regularly going without food for an entire day. Following the Zionist regime's retaliatory attack on Gaza on October 7th, which included a complete blockade and ground incursion, the region is witnessing a severe humanitarian crisis, with over 20,000 civilians reported killed in the Zionist regime's strikes, according to local authorities.
You have just listened to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily from 1520 to 1620 UTC on the following frequencies. 31 meters, 9,650 kilohertz for the Indian subcontinent, and FM 91.5 MHz for Tehran. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on IranSat or BAT 5 and Intelsat 39 and via the internet. Our internet address is parstoday.ir/en. And now you can listen to Arabi English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Send your correspondence to the English program, PO Box 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about our audio quality and other means. Thank you.
Every night and every day, every night and every day, never forget to say, La ilaha illallah, never forget to say, La ilaha illallah.
IRIB English Radio, heralder of unity and solidarity amongst Islamic denominations.
Oh Lord, here I am, pleading at your door. Send me your mercy, send me your peace, or I am lost for sure.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day with Dr. Shiraz Hussain Agha on IRIB English Radio.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Welcome to our program Hadith of the Day here at IRIB English Radio. Today on Hadith of the Day, we're going to be looking at a very beautiful and noble hadith which has been transmitted from Imam As-Sadiq alayhi salam. This hadith is about why we should not scorn people. And in this hadith, the Imam, he prohibits us from scorning people, and in particular from scorning the poor believer. Imam Sadiq alayhi salam says, "He who scorns a poor believer is scorned and detested by Allah until he desists from scorning him." And it's also been narrated that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Do not hold any of Allah's creatures in disdain, for you do not know which of them is the friend of Allah." You know, it's been narrated in history, and this is very famous, that once the Prophet was sitting with his companions, and a very rich and wealthy person came into the presence of the Holy Prophet. And there was a wealthy person. He was sitting in the presence of the Holy Prophet, and a poor person came, and he came and he sat down, and he, you know, when the rich man and the wealthy person, he saw that this poor person came and sat by him, he kind of pulled his clothes away from the poor person. When the Prophet saw this, he said, "Why have you done this? Do you think that his touching your clothes, by his touching your clothes, some of his poverty will be rubbed off onto you, or that some of your wealth will be rubbed off onto him?" And the rich and wealthy person, when he heard this, he said, "No, O Prophet of God, this is not true. I do not believe this." He says, "Then why have you done this?" So the rich and wealthy person said, he became regretful of doing this, and he said, "In order to recompense and make up for my bad action, I would like to offer this poor person half of my wealth. I would like to give it away to him." Then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he asked the poor person, he said, "Do you accept this wealthy man's and this rich person's offering and his gift?" At which the poor person said, "O Prophet of God, I do not accept it." The Prophet said, "Why?" He said, "Because I fear that by becoming wealthy and rich, I too would become proud and arrogant like this wealthy person. And this is not something that, you know, I can bear." This is a famous story, and it's also been perhaps reflected in the Holy Quran. There's a famous surah called Surah Abasa, in which this account has been narrated, for those of you who want to refer to it. So this is definitely very bad. In fact, it's been narrated that the Prophet Luqman said the following in his advice to his son. He said, "My son, do not ever scorn anybody because of his ragged clothes, for verily your Lord and his Lord is the same one." Thank you for joining us here on Hadith of the Day. We were looking at the prohibition of scorning people in the words of Imam As-Sadiq alayhi salam. Until next time, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Dr. Shiraz Hussain Agha for the program Hadith of the Day on RIB English Radio.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli